Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Darren Simons. Darren is a talent manager, producer, and casting director with Cohesive Entertainment Group in Los Angeles. Before moving into management, she worked for Paramount Studios, Sony, and Fox. She was voted Talent Manager of the Year in 2015 and is the current President Pro Tem of the Talent Managers Association. Darren recently produced Locating Silver Lake with Josh Peck and Finn Wittrock, The Pay-Up with Scott Adkins and Louis Mandalore, as well as the Disney pilot Nelson Bixby takes on the whole wide world. Darren, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bonnie. So happy to be here. I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate what you do. I'm happy to have you here. It's hard to get us all lined up sometimes.
I know. We all have very busy schedules, but I think this is so important what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. I do too. I really, this is maybe the most fun thing I do, you know. Getting to sit on my couch with, you know, smart, accomplished, creative people and talk about the things we care about.
Absolutely.
So do you think that your background as a casting director and producer affects your work as a talent manager? And if so, how do you think that happens?
I definitely do. But I think I like to think of it in a positive way. I actually didn't begin casting until about a year ago. But when you're pulling together a project to produce or develop, you're always working on your casting lists. You know, they do that at the network and they do it at the studio level. The actual process is so different on the other end. And I truly have an even greater respect for all the casting directors do. My mind was blown when I was put into the process of it. Every manager and agent should sit in and on a casting session if they haven't done so, in order to go through the process. It can take even more energy, but the growth you see and the benefits really benefits the entire process.
That's a great idea. If only we could require that.
Exactly. It's just, you know, it's not only seeing, you know, that they're pulling different people and they're trying to look at the talent and match the talent. It's also to see what comes down the pipeline. You can put in a role and you can all of a sudden have 2,500 people put before you and have, you know, different people trying to pitch you, and you know what you need. And then when you put the information back out to these people saying, I'd like your clients to come in, sometimes you get the actors, sometimes you don't, and then you get people in the room, and it's such a different way to see the actors when they're in the room. You see very established people that literally can melt down in the casting process. It's mind-boggling.
Wow.
Yeah. And then on the other, putting the different hat on of the producer hat, you know, we have a management company, and we, of course, adore our actors and want them to all be first. But a lot of times, if we're doing a production that's not right, you know, then we have to kind of come back around and explain to the clients that, you know, this is probably not going to be right for you, mm-hmm. and it's not in your trajectory. So, you know, that's another fine line that we cross. But I think all in all, it all benefits. It benefits our clients, it benefits the company, and, you know, there's nothing like creating a story or following through with a story and creating a project. Producing is literally, it's so hard, but it's so exciting.
Producing looks like one of the most creative things in this whole industry.
Yes, it is. It is. Now, sometimes you can sit there scratching your head because you have to get involved with all of the money and the numbers and the personalities and all the powers that be, and that could be a royal headache. But when you maneuver through all of that, and you come out on the other end, you feel such a sense of accomplishment. And I will also say, because I work with Deborah Del Pret, my business partner, she was, you know, the head of Oddlot Entertainment for many years, and she has probably produced over 25 features. She has really shown me the way. I mean, I've only produced probably four or five different projects, and she really has shown me what it's like. I'm really good on the front end of things, But when you get into the nitty-gritty, she sits on set every single minute of every single day because we also rep directors and writers. And then once you're done with the process, you're only halfway there.
People don't really realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not done. Not at all.
So now you have all of this footage, and you then have to take it and put it back together in a coherent way. And if you didn't pick up the right shots or didn't get the right coverage, it becomes this huge headache. You can have to go back and reshoot. Then you have to put it together, and then you have to be able to get the right music. And then you want to do ADR, and maybe those clients or maybe those actors have already gone on to other projects. We just recently on Locating Silver Lake, we had one of the actors, and he was in Puerto Rico, and we had to, you know, get him to do his ADR in Puerto Rico. It all worked out. It was great. We found an amazing studio there, but it was touch and go for a little bit.
Explain ADR for the people who don't know what
so
that is.
ADR is basically laying down the vocals over what has already been shot. If you had bad sound, or if the sound was just not what you wanted in the piece, you actually have to go back in and re-record the audio for that.
Which means that basically the actors are in a studio wearing headphones, looking at a big screen yes. of themselves
Bonnie.
Talking.
Yes.
And then they are having to match and basically do the sound again. It's the opposite of lip syncing in a way.
Yes.
Lip syncing we're all familiar with, where it's like, okay, you see them recording visually to previously recorded audio. Yes. Here they're having to match. They're watching their mouths and they're watching their faces on film, and they're having to re-record the audio
right.
to match that. It's like reverse. It's crazy. It's a weird thing to try and do. I've been in the studio with Dove a bunch, and she's had to do it for various projects, and it's fascinating.
And bring about the emotion to the scene. That is just got to be so difficult. But that's why I'm on the other end of the the other side of the camera, because that to me is such hard work.
It is, and practically every project, just because of the vagaries of technology, really requires some kind of ADR before it's all wrapped up.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's become pretty mainstream.
Yeah, it's a thing. So back to a couple of things. My brain's exploding. It's so fun because like there's all these different avenues to go down. You said something a second ago about having to explain to your clients, like, you know, it's not a good fit, maybe this one, you know, even though we love you, because if we didn't love you, we wouldn't rep you,
right?
You know,
right.
Obviously, but we have this particular thing in mind for this project, and that is, in fact, how it works in casting, and I was talking to an actor the other day, and I think it was Thomas Doherty, and he said, you know, it's actually an actor's nightmare to be miscast in something. Actors shouldn't want to ever be cast in something that isn't the right fit for them.
Right.
And it's hard to understand this if you're outside the industry. It's like, oh, you want to be in this, you want to be in that. It's like, not if it's wrong for you, because
right.
that's just the worst thing in the world, is to be cast in something that you're not right for, because you can't possibly do a good job.
Exactly, exactly. And you can actually harm your career by going down the wrong path. You see it all the time. And I think what happens is newer actors come to town and they just want to do anything.
Anything and everything.
Can. Yeah. And you have to really take a step back before you plunge into something and really ask yourself and ask your reps, is this right for me? And don't be afraid to tell your reps no. If something's coming down the pipeline that they're like, you have to do this, it's going to be great, have a conversation if it doesn't feel good inside. There is no project that you should ever work on that if you have a bad feeling. And if you have the right reps, they're going to understand, and they're going to work with you on that. And hopefully they'll be the ones telling you, you know, you can't do this if it's not right for you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to hear you articulate that, because I just feel that that's so important, especially for beginning actors. Like, there's this desperate feeling like I have to do anything right. I have a shot at, and it's just not true. And if you really are on a different page than your reps are on that stuff, it's a huge indicator that you're not with the right reps for you.
Right.
Maybe they're great, but maybe they're not great for you.
Right. Yeah, I think representation is all about personality. You have to have the right fit, because, you know, it becomes more. You have to rely on each other. We like to call our company an incubator. We don't work for you. You don't work for us. We all work together as a team. And it has to be the right team. And if it's not, then you move on to find your people.
I love that. That is perfect. And it's a perfect segue into my real next question, which is, okay, so how exactly does a talent manager work? You know, a lot of people are like, you know, once you get your manager, you're set. Yay, I'm good. Or my agent, whatever. You know, can you clarify what a manager actually does and does not do?
Well, I have to say, currently, I think a lot of the lines are crossed. I think a lot of the lines meld together. But your agent is actually working at a bigger scale. They're working with a lot more talent, and they are basically submitting and they are negotiating on your behalf. The manager is making sure that you're relevant in the agent's mind. We're working on your whole picture, on the marketing, on where you should be and your photos and you know, are you in the right classes and are you maneuvering towards the right goals? You know, of course, with our relationships and within working within the framework with the agent, because we want to always work within with the agent's, you know, acceptance. But, you know, if we see things on a higher level over at the studio or the network to make certain that we're all hitting the right targets. So, you know, again, I think some agents like to take a little bit more of an active role with their clients, but a lot of agents, they don't have the time nor the inclination, and they really rely on the managers to take care of that. And we value the agents we work with because we know what they do and we know how hard they work. And there's some synchronicity to it when you're all working and it's going well. And then eventually you're going to add an attorney into the mix, or you'll add an attorney in the beginning. It depends on what you're booking. And then you'll add the publicist. And I think the manager kind of keeps everybody sometimes at bay and then keeps everybody working in harmony.
Mission control, kind of.
We are mission control. And also, sometimes I don't like to say this because I kind of feel it, but I do like to say that the managers are more like the motherly portion of the family, the business family, and the agents are more the fatherly, more dumb. It's not to say it's male or female related. It could be, you know, the agent could be female and the manager could be male, but it just, the manager deals with things on such a minuscule basis at times.
I think of it as like the agents, the managers are about the forest and the agents are about the trees.
I like that so much better.
It's gender neutral.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. May I use that from now on?
You be my guest.
That's wonderful. I love that. I'm going to put that on my wall.
Yes, it's kind of encapsulates it pretty nicely. Well, so what do you think makes for a great manager?
I think it's somebody who will tell you the truth. There are so many times where I've seen management tell people what they want to hear because they're so afraid that if they don't tell people what they want to hear, they're going to leave. Life is too short to be surrounded by yes men and women, yes women. And it's just, it hurts me to see my client. I had a client send me something yesterday that she had gone and shot on her own. She's trying to build her reel and I value that. And I said, you can't use this. You can't use this. I really appreciate your going and doing this. You should have, you know, had a big discussion with us first and thank you, but we can't use it. So I think that's so important. Also listening and having communication. What we do with our management company is I love for everyone to start off the week, usually on a Sunday, and submit to us what their week is all about, what their goals are, what their hopes and dreams are. I want it all positive. Or if they're just working, you know, their job until they get to that point. Because everybody has to have an income while they're on their road to success. So I really like that. And then I can look at that. Sometimes I may not come back with an epilogue, but I can say yes, no, maybe so. But that way I know you're working on your career. It's not specifically for us. It's for you as the actor. And that goes for the writers and the directors as well.
I love that. I may steal that.
Please, go right ahead.
This is a useful podcast episode. So, well then, we've kind of covered this already, but just to kind of underline it, what do you think is the kind of basic difference between an agent and a manager? Because people are so confused.
I think agents submit and they close deals. managers will know what their rates are, will know what the framework is, because there's no way that, I mean, an agent can go to the filing cabinet and have the assistant pull it out, but the managers should know it off the top of their head. Managers, we work a lot with international clients, which I adore, but some have visas, some have green cards. There are all types of information that comes up that we are required, to go back and forth with and make sure that they are in legal standing. So an agent doesn't have the time nor the inclination to even process that information. Yeah, so, we have to kind of be at their beck and call.
It's sort of like, a manager might have 30 clients and an agent might have 300.
Exactly.
And you just have to think about what that really means.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of energy and attention.
Exactly. And also, I think with managers, I think agents get away with having more similar clients. They'll keep it at a very minimum because, you may have somebody that looks like another actor, but one may be amazing in comedy and the other is absolutely dramatic. When it gets to management, you really have to be specific. You have to know, okay, this is my theatrical actor. They look this way. They can do this. And this is my comedic actor. You really have to be specific when you get into management.
That's great. That is a great breakdown. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's talk about the Talent Managers Association.
Oh, goody. I'd love to talk to you about the talent managers.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it's kind of neat because what I say to people sometimes when they're like, well, what's the difference, agents, managers? I say, well, to be an agent, you've got to be licensed, you've got to be bonded.
Right.
And then I have to say, unfortunately, pretty much anybody with a heartbeat can call themselves a manager.
Yes.
And it sounds so derogatory, and I don't mean it to. I don't mean it to, but it's accurate.
Yeah.
And you're working to change that.
We are trying so hard to change that. We really want it to be taken as a profession, and we want it to have rules, and we want it to have standards, and we want it to, what the TMA has actually been around about 65 years. It had different names along the way, but we really want to say we have to work within an ethical framework, because people come out and they really think, or they can go to New York, or they can be in the Midwest, they really say, oh, if you're a talent manager, you must know what you're doing. There are people all of the time just putting up their shingle and saying, I'm a talent manager. Well, there are rules, there are laws, and you have to comply, and you have to work within that framework. And I see so many managers putting up their signposts that don't have a clue. We have a lot of people that come to the TMA, and when we start to explain all of the information, they're gobsmacked. They have no clue. They just started it up and they're just kind of doing their thing, and they really take a pause. Also, I love the TMA. That's where I came into contact with my current business partner. I think that you end up meeting people that are of similar mind and similar thought process. And it's again, everybody needs a group. You have to travel in life in groups. Otherwise, if you're out there on your own, it is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have to make so many more mistakes.
It's really true.
Yeah. So I joined the TMA probably about 9 years ago, and I had literally been on the studio side of things. I had my daughter. I took 2 years to kind of decompress, and then all of a sudden people started coming to me and asking me questions about acting, and I had acted a long time ago as a child, but I had said goodbye to it a long time ago, and then people were asking me questions, and I would give them answers, and people started booking things. And I said, wow, I guess there's something to this, but I better figure out what I'm supposed to do. So I went to the TMA as a fact-finding mission and found out that, wow, this is a place where not only can I learn, but there's some amazing programs that are going on here. And then the Heller Awards were created about 13, 14 years ago. And so I saw how it was being done. I said, I like this, but I want to kind of grow it a little bit more. We give out awards to talent managers, casting directors, and agents. We are the only organization to really look at agents and say, you deserve to be lauded.
So, fun fact, 7 years ago when Dove and I moved to Los Angeles, somehow the Heller Awards got on my radar. And I thought, well, this is perfect. This is like the short list of people I want to go after to represent my kid.
Wow.
Because what better source than people who are nominated by their own, not by like random fixed Yelp reviews or something, like who the heck knows who's really writing these things, but their own peers are nominating them for, you know, best youth agent, best manager. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, and I used the Heller Awards to help us find the right agent. I found Pamela Fisher.
Wow, buddy, this makes me feel so good.
Isn't that neat?
Thank you so much.
I recommend the Heller Awards. Anybody out there who's looking for, like, you know, really maybe a really outstanding agent or manager out there.
Thank you.
Look up the Heller Awards and who, it's not necessarily who won. It's who was nominated, because it's only five or six in each field every year.
Right.
Look back through the last 5 years even. That gives you maybe, it's not going to be 30 names because some of the names recur over and over again. And you might notice that too. It's like, this one's,
and there's
always
a reason.
On the list. They're so good and they're so respected.
Thank you.
And so that's something that's really special and I think it's really important. So,
thank you.
So I love and appreciate, and I didn't know, like you didn't know that that helped us. I didn't know that you were part of that. So thank you
so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes, I produced the last three, and I'm handing over the producership to the next crew. But actually, it was funny because I met my current business partner. I had turned around and looked around the room, and I said, we were doing it at the Universal Sheraton. I said, I want to bring this up a little bit and take it over to Beverly Hills, and I really wanted Joan Rivers to host. That was my goal. And I turned to this wonderful woman who just can't come to her first TMA meeting. And I said, does anybody know how to direct? And she goes, yeah, I didn't know she had directed, you know, two features and she was a producer. I got so lucky. I could have picked anybody. So that's how that came to fruition. And thank you for that. I love hearing that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I've done everything I can to turn people into the Heller Awards as a great source for, you know, quality, outstanding agents and managers to go chase down. So
thank you so much for that. We really appreciate that.
Well, it's huge.
And if you're a manager out there listening, please check out www.talentmanagers.org, and we'd love to have you come in for a meeting.
Thank you. That's like I would love to see the TMA become a serious driving force because as I said, like, you know, technically anybody can be a manager, which is heartbreaking because good managers are like gold. Good managers can change your life.
Yeah.
Good managers can be the most important asset ever.
Yeah.
And bad managers are the opposite. And a lot of people call themselves managers who have no business being managers.
Exactly.
And that's where the TMA can be helpful, you know, like to create some standards. So
thank you.
Go.
Yay!
Do it.
Bye. We'll have you in for a meeting.
Seriously, I'm thinking about her. Like,
or maybe a panel. We'll have you in for a panel. That'd be awesome.
I'll be on a panel. So you're also a huge advocate for protecting children in the entertainment industry. And I'd like to get into that a little bit. It's always been an issue.
Yeah.
It's more to the forefront in people's minds right now.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what's being done right now and what still needs to be done to protect young actors specifically?
Well, I wish I could say that I knew it all. I know just a tip of the iceberg. I first and foremost, I'm a mom. I have a daughter. She's not in the business. She does like theater. But when I see new families and young children come in, even to come in and meet with us, and we have the conversation. Immediately when I see kids come in, and we always ask the question, why do you want to be an actor? Immediately when I get the response to buy my parents a new house or to be famous, immediately we put our foot down and we say, this probably is not going in the direction that we need to go. So that's the one thing about protecting kids who shouldn't actually even be approaching this business.
And this doesn't have anything to do with predators. This is the thing.
Right.
People, I'm so happy you framed it this way, because protecting kids is actually a much broader conversation than just like, oh, what's that creepy guy in the corner up to? Like,
absolutely.
This is much bigger to like have kids get involved in something that they don't really want in their hearts.
Right.
What a terrible thing.
Right. I see these little faces that are full of so much hope and joy. And you know, if it's not right for them, you should never push a child. Mm-hmm. Ever. So that's the one side of things. The other side is we have so many families that come here. Families that are in California, families that come from out of town. But what I have to say is I see a lot more. The families that come in from out of town, they're so trusting. And they will do whatever it takes. But whatever it takes does not ever mean leaving your child with anybody else, allowing anyone else to take your child on auditions or you know, take them through the process. You always go with your gut and always keep your child close at hand.
Sight and sound.
Sight and sound, absolutely. There's a woman who helped me with my daughter when we were younger, and she's called Patty the safety lady. And you know, she always talks about if your child ever gets separated and, you know, your child needs help, what to look for. And it's always, your child should always look for a mom with kids.
That's good. I like that.
A mom with kids knows about kids, and they're a little bit more safer than somebody who you might think is a police officer or something. Mm-hmm. So I kind of liken that to this industry, whereas you see, you know, people in the business that seem like they know children and that they are kind of moving in that direction. But never, ever entrust your children to anybody else without your being involved.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. And then also, you know, you may get comfortable on set. You may be working on set and everything feels like a family. You just never know. And this can be the same thing for when you're, you know, your kids are after school, or it's just in life. You know, it can be with sports. We all just need to. It happens everywhere.
It does. And that's really important to remind people of, because there's a lot of sort of fear going on right now.
Right.
Because of some of the revelations in the industry specifically. Yeah. But truth be told, this is a problem in our culture.
Right.
And it's not different outside the industry. We're just like getting conscious about it now. So.
Right, right. And can I also mention, mm-hmm. I want to mention the whole social media side, which you may have as a separate question.
No, let's go there.
It's such a fine line. We have to have social media. It's absolutely imperative nowadays. However, we've had, and especially in dealing with Disney, where you're going down the Disney road, and then all of a sudden, a lot of the predators are using Disney because they know it will lead a lot of kids to them. Be so cautious about your children being online, and then also their online. Google them, and Google their, put their picture up and Google their picture, because things are popping up in different places that you have no idea about. We had a situation with Nelson Bixby where we had to go after a group that was putting up the photos. And I'm very blessed to have a friend that works for the Department of Justice. And she's helped me on many occasions, unfortunately. And she basically was able to get on it within probably 20 minutes' time.
That's incredible.
But not everybody has that.
Oh, there's so much. I should have a series of safety, you know, I think we have some series coming up for 2018.
I would love that, Bonnie. I would so appreciate that. And I think so many parents who are listening all over the United States and all over the world, that would be very beneficial.
All right. I'll start to line up the guests. Thank you.
To add to your workload.
No, it's important though. I mean, what's more important, right? Well, speaking of kids and young kids in some cases, back to the management piece, what's the youngest age for an actor that you're willing to represent and why?
So, you know, that's a really hard question. We've represented before a two-year-old, but the two-year-old was the child of one of our actors. So it's dependent upon the child. You know, I have seen children as young as six who come in and they're like these mini adults. They just have this otherworldliness about them, and they get things. I've had adults who act younger than, you know, the six-year-old. So it's a case-by-case basis.
That makes sense to me. But it's like sometimes people are like, well, okay, so she's six now. I can take her in. I was like, it just depends.
Right. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's got to be right for the child. It's got to be right for us.
I love that. Honest answer. What advice do you have for parents of extremely young kids who have these big hopes that their kids will be actors? I have parents sometimes write to me like, you know, my toddler, and I'm like, you can't, really? You can't even know if they want this yet. And,
right.
and sometimes these parents have the absolutely best fine intentions.
Agreed.
Sometimes not so much, but like, I am personally, I struggle with the idea that the children that young should be getting into the industry because they just don't know what they're signing on for.
I agree. And especially if they're not in LA or New York, you know, and you want to pack the whole family up because you've seen this one glimmer. I think that local theater and even school plays and are the best way to just find that niche and to see if your child really wants to do that. You could get your child out here and it could be devastating. Your child could go in with a casting director and it could just be wrong. And that could scar your child emotionally. I just feel that just test the waters out. And I also want to say I really appreciate what Stuart is doing over at Scenebot.
I do too.
I really am so thankful to him for what he's achieved. And I say try Scenebot out. You can try it anywhere in the nation. And his new app actually is super fun. And, you know, I always, my daughter gets on it all the time and I hear her giggling and you can do it with friends. And see if that works for you. It's really fun. It's a great way to test it out. It's called Actually, and then Scenebot is great because it brings us talent that we wouldn't originally get to see unless they flew out here.
See, here this is an actual Los Angeles talent manager saying that she uses this and it works, and you're finding people through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's real. It is legit. I should have those guys back on to talk about Actually because that's a revolutionary thing.
And it's so fun, and we giggle with it, and we play with it too.
This is good. Yeah, that's what my general answer is. Like, man, test the waters where you are. Go as far as you can where you are first before taking these big moves out. Because, like, at that point, then you can feel relatively confident that at least it's the right thing for the kid.
Yeah.
Never mind, who knows what's going to happen when you're out here. But, like, you know, first things first, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, what advice do you have for people who are trying to get a manager in Hollywood? You know, the biggest hurdle for so many of us is just getting a meeting with a manager or an agent.
Bonnie, you know, we work all the time on referral. And it's really hard because, you know, a lot of agents will send us clients or producers or writers or a lot of people in the industry. But we do look at postcards that come in, and we do every now and again look at certain submissions that come in, you know, online. Not all the time, but always, if you are going to submit yourself to, you know, a reputable manager or agent, always make certain that you send a headshot and a resume and a reel. You may only have one scene that you put up yourself, but at least it gives us an idea that you're trying, that you're working. And if you don't have that yet, go work on it. Again, now I can use, you know, go look at the TMA website and look at the Heller Awards and look at the people who have, you know, garnered the acclaim. Also go to SAG, whether you're SAG or not, you can go to the SAG website and you can see who's affiliated with SAG. You know, that's a great place to start because those people are working professionally. And talk to people that you know. It's so interesting how the world works. It's such a small world. You may not even know, but if you start asking questions, you know, the local drama teacher, the you know, somebody else who's acting, you know, it's just so dependent on where you live, but there are clues everywhere out there. But make sure they're reputable and make sure you never pay a fee for service. Don't ever pay anything up front. Do not go with somebody who's ever going to charge you for photographs, for consulting fees. That's illegal and don't do it.
I love that. Thank you for mentioning that. That cannot be said enough.
Thank you. Oh, and can I just, yes. I also want to interject, make sure if you go with a management company, always check. You can check online with the government websites that they have their child service permits if you have a child under 18.
Yes, this is a new law. A lot of people don't know about it, but you are, if you're working directly with children in the industry, you have to be fingerprinted and background checked.
Right.
It's really, really important.
Absolutely.
What do you think, this is actually a question I get all the time, and I'd just love to hear your take on it. What do you think is reasonable in terms of communication between a manager and an actor, or their parents if they're a young actor?
Right.
Like, so, what's reasonable?
Reasonable is always email. Always email. If you don't get a response in the proper fashion from the email, then you can go to text, and then text. If you're not getting anything from that, then call. a lot of times we're on set, or a lot of times we're traveling, or, you know, we're doing things, and you should be able to get in touch with our offices at all times. If you're on set, though, and you ever have a problem, you contact us immediately by phone. If you ever have a major problem, you call the number that SAG has. I wish I had it with me, but, you know, if you're experiencing a problem on set, there's an emergency number that SAG has that's very important. And then if you're not getting the response you want, find new representation.
Yes, unfortunately. It's a tough one, you know, especially for a young actor, for their parents. Like, am I needy? Am I annoying? Am I reaching out too much? Or, like, do they even know who I am? Should I be contacting them more? You know what I mean?
Yeah, what I like to do is, when you're approaching your team, I would go to the managers first, because the managers have a little bit more leeway. Always go with something positive that you've been working on. Because when you come at us in a negative thing of, like, I'm not doing anything, I'm not getting, it falls on deaf ears. Because we're out there trying so hard to work for you and be positive for you and to work with your agent so your agent can pitch you positively. If we're not getting, you know, I went and worked on a student film today, or, you know, I went and I worked on, you know, my own self-tape, or, you know, I'm doing everything that I can do. If we're not getting that, you know, we receive a certain percentage from you, and yours is a bigger percentage that you would receive. So, you know, it takes a village, but you really need to go work on your own career, just like we're working on your career as well. So it's a group dynamic. Come at it in a positive light.
I love that.
Proactive.
Great advice, Darren. So I know we're reaching the end of our time. I feel like I could talk to you all day. I may have to have you back.
Well, you make the best coffee, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will come back, absolutely.
It's organic.
fabulous.
Well, before I let you go, any other advice for young actors and their parents, especially as it relates to the actor-manager relationship, or anything else that you care to just leave us with?
Just be patient. Have patience, and know that it's the journey. The end result, you know, is incredible, but, you know, you have to be prepared for it. And sometimes when it hits too fast, that can even be a major challenge. So just know it's not going to happen overnight. It's 99% hard work, but it's 1% luck. You know, that luck just pops up, but that luck is everything. Being in the right room at the right time. So just be patient with it. Be understanding. Ask questions, though, if you don't understand. There's never a question that's a stupid question. So what's not right is not asking those questions. And we're there to work with you. We want to support you. And we want to see our clients' careers come to fruition, because that for us is like lightning in a bottle. And that just makes our world, and hopefully makes your world as well.
What brilliant advice. I mean, it's good life advice.
I have to wake up every morning and tell myself.
Well, we all do sometimes. But thank you so much for talking to us today, Darren.
Of course.
Locating Silver Lake and The Pay Up, they're both probably out in 2018.
Yes, exactly. And then can I just do a really quick pitch?
Yes, of course.
Jessica Marie Garcia has something huge coming out in March, and she also has her film hitting iTunes. In the next few days, and Shelby Wolfert's film is coming out, and then we've got the directors working hard, and all of our clients are working steadily, so we're so blessed. We're so lucky to be doing what we're doing, and I also wanted to thank my daughter Stella and my husband Todd for all of their support.
I love that. Thanks for pitching my friends. I'm so proud of them.
Absolutely. And thank you for interviewing them, because your interviews gave me a new insight that I don't normally get from my clients. So it was really fantastic.
Thank you so much. I will see you again soon. Everybody, you can find Darren at www.cohesiveentertainmentgroup.com.
Exactly.
And they are also on Instagram, just under Cohesive Entertainment Group. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie. It was great to be here.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.